Colossians 3. Continuing on this idea of what it means to be renewed in your mind, or the renewing of your mind. In verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Now, that statement says it's an assumption that you have put off the old man. You have divorced, you have ignored, you have, by repentance, you have left yourself behind. It's not an option if you're a believer. It's an assumption. If that assumption isn't correct, then the rest of this doesn't follow. You understand that? So everything in this chapter assumes that you have already put off, you have repented. You have left yourself behind, which is the meaning of repentance. So you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you can't put on the new man unless you put off the old man, which is verse 9 says. And because you have put off the old man, in verse 11, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now in Galatians it says it a little bit different. Go to Galatians. Galatians. What is it? I think Galatians 5. Galatians 3, I'm sorry. Galatians 3, 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There's a great many things in the scriptures that can't be understood as long as you look at each other based on even your sexuality or your age or your anything. There is no identifying externals to the body of Christ. There's not young or old, black or white, bond or free, Jew or Greek, barbarian or Scythian. There is a new creation. And until you understand that, you can't understand the scriptures, because the scriptures aren't written as a vehicle in order to have some kind of society. The scriptures are written to those that know that there is no longer the human race. There's a new thing. There's not. So nothing that has defined you in the past now can define you. You understand that? So the scriptures about, you know, let women keep silent in the church, it only is true if they're still in the position of seeing themselves as a woman, and this person is a man, and that person is a kid, and that person is a... So all of the stuff that's done in the church, where they have ministering to segments of society, a youth ministry and a singles ministry, and you know all the other stuff, it's the opposite of what it should be. Because if you continue viewing each other after the old definitions, then you will automatically, you know, you'll go to the church of your choice, but you will choose people with like idolatry. So your own idolatry is never challenged. So you're continuing in the illusion that, you know, you're a better human being because you put the name of Christ on you, but it's a farce. Do you all understand that? Then you... Go ahead.
What's like where... I was amazed when you told me this, where it says, let none of you suffer as an evildoer, a murderer, whatever. It's not saying anything about being a murderer or an evildoer. It's saying, don't suffer thinking that's who you are.
Right. This is the only way that you can look at each other in love. If you look at each other based on the old definitions, then all of the prejudices of your mind will come into play. You know, it's like racism. Racism is true in every culture of the world. The Orientals think that the Koreans are the worst people in the universe. There's massive racism between Norwegians and Swedes in Sweden and Norway. There's massive racism by Norwegians against Germans and French because it's all southern Norway.
Wait, you can't say Germans and French in the same sentence.
Sure you can, because Normandy was a Norwegian province.
It's in the film. It's in the kids' film. You know who gave it to him? Charles the Simple.
Anyhow, the same thing is true about seeing each other as male and female. As long as you do that, then there can be no renewal of your mind because you have continued looking at the prejudices of your particular background. So there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, young or old, black or white. There are no modifiers. We are the peculiar people. We are the I am people. And the I am can have no modifiers. So you're not young or old. You're not smart or dumb. It has nothing to do with anything that we've ever considered before. And this has staggering implications. Because how much of your life is based on viewing society or viewing people with the same prejudices that you grew up with? What? Let him in. Come on in, Stuart. Aha! I thought, I was wondering whose that was. I was going to steal it.
Yeah, what? The clearest thing that you're not you is after all your definitions of whatever.
Yeah.
That you are.
I mean, it's just crazy because no one has a correct definition of themselves. And if they don't even have a correct definition of themselves, they can't possibly have a correct view of anyone else. I mean, it's just insane.
This makes me understand why there's violence in the scriptures, because these images and that are so ingrained that nothing less than something powerful, violent, dramatic will separate you from how you cling to these definitions. They just don't want to leave you.
Yeah, let's go to Matthew 11, I think. Matthew 11, starting verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Now what does that mean? No, reeds shaken with the wind means someone that is affected by external circumstances. Do you see that as the parable there? What went you out to see? A reed shaken in the wind, or with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way, thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What an incredible statement. And we've seen this. I mean, this is the only way it can happen. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. I wonder what the dispensationalists say about that. I mean, that means all the law and the prophets were over at John, because he proclaimed that which all the law and the prophets predicted. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. And that's the, again, that's just another way of saying what you want to see, a reed shaken in the wind. The man of God is not moved by anything except God. You're not moved by fires or winds or hailstorms or poverty or riches or anything else. And so the way of describing it is what went you out to see and all that. And then here it says, We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. Let's go someplace else. I want to show you something. Let's go to Mark 7.
What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence is taken by force.
It means exactly what it says.
What we're talking about right now is as violent as you can get.
It means everything that you think is wrong. Every perception that you have is an error. But you will die, and you will fight for the perceptions and identity that you've created. And the only way to destroy it is by the preaching of the cross, which is the most violent thing that can happen.
It's like you're going to fight one way or the other. You're going to fight to hold on to your old man, or you're going to put off the old man and fight to keep him from coming back over you. I mean, there's a fight either way.
For some of us, it takes a long fight, isn't it?
When the Pharisees came out to John's baptism, what he said to them was as violent as you can get. And it's like everywhere Jesus went, he just made trouble, 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 trouble. And I can just imagine sitting back in the disciple place going, crap, he's going to do it again today. Why didn't he just keep his mouth shut and get along? Why bring this upon us?
Mark 7, verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable, or concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which come out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, does anybody believe that?
You look for men to be basically good, and if that's what you say, I guess you don't believe it. How about if I accept Jesus as my Savior?
Then you better understand that with more pristine clarity than before.
It's trying to put on the new man without putting off the old man first.
Right.
You can't put new wine in old wineskins. But that's what everybody wants to do, is go to the store, get the Jesus coat, put it on, and everything will be fine.
Including everybody in this room.
I meant everybody.
But consider, this talk about violence. Just think about it, what's going on in the society today with regard to the various, not necessarily Christian, but different righteous groups trying to control society. When I was out and about a lot, I've had more violence toward me over that scripture than anything else. But it's all part and parcel of renewing your mind, because if you give breath or importance to anything that is of the senses, that is of the world, then the renewal of the mind stops. If you give any breath or importance to any so-called mission, especially a religious one, then the renewal of the mind stops. And therefore the transfiguration is delayed. But again, I believe that the transfiguration, all it's necessary for it, for the transfiguration of the church, is for one or a small group of people to understand who the son of perdition is. Just like it was necessary for just one person, Peter, to understand that Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was a huge, we use the word Christ like we use oatmeal or something, but the Christ is an incredible word in Hebrew. And it means the singular anointed one, the sent one sent from God. So that could only be revealed to Peter by the Father. And once that was revealed, then Christ could be transfigured. And I believe once, in the opposite, once for us, that this revealed who the man of sin, the son of perdition is. Once that is revealed, I believe it's just to one person. Then the end can come. Anybody understand that? Now, what does it take? What does it take to see that? What does it take to believe that? It takes the abandonment and denial of everything else. Anybody understand? Are you here?
Yeah.
How come
I was just thinking about the things that come out of the man. The source is evil. That's all. It's nothing but evil.
Source is the evil one.
Yet, when we're passed through the fires of Molech, we believe that something can change, and that if you behave correctly and you have the right motives and right thinking and do the right things, that then that the things that come out of you can be good, can be acceptable.
Right.
And Yeah, and I struggle with that with my own child, trying to not pass him through the fires of Molech by saying that, you know, if you need to control these things in your behavior and be good.
Everybody wants to know, what about the good people? And I'm sure all of you know somebody that you would call good and probably have called good. And sometime during your life, you wanted to be called good. But there are no good people. Christ wouldn't even allow someone to call him good. When it benefits people to do good, they will do good. When it benefits people to do evil, they will do evil. Because all is about self-preservation, self-seeking. And until you see and know the cross, and know the incredible evil and sinfulness of self-seeking under any guise, of trying to protect your position, of trying to protect your reputation, of trying to protect your image of yourself, you'll never know what I'm talking about, because you will automatically fall back onto the things that you learned in the fires of Molech, and the things that you learned were on a continual, never-ending attempt to have acceptance and to be accepted. And that's what most people's youth is about. Doesn't stop at the youth, but from, you know, it's from at some point you stop consciously being concerned about it, but you know that you are concerned, because if somebody challenges you, you go ballistic. So it's always trying to do the right thing. And the operative evil there is trying. Because as long as you are trying, then you are locked into the lower realms of life, to the kingdom of darkness. There can be no renewal of the mind in that domain. Does everybody see?
So these things that come out of a man are things that defile him, these bad things, but to let him out is a good thing.
Well, the point of it is the only way that there is quote-unquote healing, in the true sense of the word healing, which means to be complete, transparent, is that you must confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. And unless you do that, then you're living a lie. You're masquerading as an angel of light. And so there is no, it's not optional. You confess your fault one to another that you might be healed. Now that's very dangerous, because you're always afraid that someone will use it against you. I still get, you know, emails and calls because of all that I know about people, you know, because they're just deathly afraid that I'm going to use it against them. Anyway, so it's vital that you put on the new man, that you put off the old man, that you leave yourself behind. And you've got to stop. You've got to start leaving yourself behind this instant. All of you. Walk away from you. That's your only hope.
I was thinking of this in relation to Saul, who, instead of, you know, wiping out the entire tribe, kept the best. And that's, when we put off the old man, we can't put off those parts we judge unacceptable and keep the parts that we think are good, which is, I think, our tendency. Put off the bad parts of the old man.
Yeah, It has nothing to do with good or bad. It's all, because all is evil from God's perspective. All right, that's enough for today. Anybody have any other thoughts, questions? Everybody understand perfectly? What? What?
Oh, when you said about people being afraid you're going to use stuff against them, I remember that line in Casablanca.
In what?
In the film Casablanca, which I'm sure you've never seen. And the guy says to the hero, "Oh, you despise me, don't you? You despise me." And he says, "I suppose if I ever thought about you, I would."
All righty. Ain't that special? Take it, big guy.